The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. We have wide open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. All right. So, some of you know, I do Patreon, and I did a Patreon video today on a topic I'm going to talk about. I did more details there, but it's interesting what's happening in the Christian church. I want to talk about that a little bit. I'm developing a table. I like tables. I like to develop information that you can see things very quickly, very easily. You can understand. That's what I like to do. Make it quick and slick, as I like to say. And yeah, I'll just say it that way. Anyway, so here's the thing. There is a movement that's occurring in our culture and stuff like that, where truth is, well, basically just a commodity, and you don't have to believe the truth. There's no absolutes. Let's put it that way. And I've noticed that in the Christian church, one of the ways that that is manifesting is in something as simple as someone saying, "The Lord told me." Now, I've heard people tell me, I remember I was discussing something with a woman a few weeks ago online, and I was telling her something biblically, what the scripture said, and she goes, "Well, I don't agree because the Lord told me blah, blah, blah." And it was really stunning to hear that. She's supposed to be a Christian, and she just said, "No, the Lord told me, and the Spirit bears witness that I'm telling you is the truth." And it was about experience, and it wasn't about the truth of God's Word. Anyway, that's a good representative point about it. And so maybe you go to a church where people say, "You know, the Lord told me. The Lord told me this. The Lord told me that." All right. Is that possible? Well, you know, it's possible. I think that God could certainly communicate with us. But is it subject to Scripture? What kind of church do you go to? Do you go to a church where that happens? If you do, call me up and let's talk about it. You know, tell me what you think. Tell me if you you think that's legit. The Lord told me. And how would you know it's from the Lord? Real simple, real basic question. And I am curious about it. Also, and you call me at 877-207-2276. What was I going to say? I just lost my train of thought. You know, I hate it when I do that. It's all right. Probably never happened to anybody out there listening to me. But it happens to me every now and then. That's all right. Four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. My question is, I know one day I called you and you told me that apostle can mean sent one. Uh-huh. So my question is, can a person be an apostle without having seen Christ?
I'm not sure, because I'm going through in memory issues in the New Testament where people are called apostles, and there are seven kinds of apostles in the Bible. Let's see if I can find it. Seven apostles, seven types of apostles that I found by looking at the word apostello in the Greek. I'm trying to find it. You know, I can't find it on my own website. How about that? But it's there. And Jesus can be called an apostle because it says he's an apostle. And Paul claimed to be an apostle, and he verified his apostolic succession or authority by saying in Romans, in 1 Corinthians 9:1, "Have I not seen the risen Lord?" And his defense of the apostles. So, in light of that, I'm thinking to be an apostle of that sort, you have to have seen the risen Lord. But what I'm curious about is to know if every if every individual called an apostle has seen the risen Lord. And I'm trying to review that in my mind, and I can't think of anything like that. So let me do something here really fast. This is going to my Bible program and looking up the word of apostello or apostolos, actually, and it occurs 79 times. And so the apostles were with the Lord, and then let's go into some later stuff. The apostles and the brethren, the apostles and the elders. So all are not apostles, are they? All not prophets. So anyway, it's a good question, and one of the things I want to do is finish my section on New Apostolic Reformation, NAR, and that very question is one of the questions I need to research and answer. I've gone through, actually, let me see if I can find it. I got a lot of stuff I've done that haven't released yet. I've gone through and I found, I did an examination of every single instance of the word apostle and from the verb form as well as the noun form. And I've got them. I don't think I've released them yet. Let's see. N-A-R. There we go. And I can find those and see what I concluded with it. So anyway, yeah, there we go. So let's see. We're studying on apostles. And you have apostles of Christ. You have, and it only occurs apostleship. Interesting. Why is that like that? Anyway, I got some studying to do. But here we go. Anyway, so 651 is the number. And you can have it as apostle is from Jesus, a generic reference. Peter's apostleship is to the Jews and the replacement of Judas. Now, that has to do with apostleship out of number 651. And then number 652, which is apostle, we have false apostles, and they are sent for the equipping of the saints. We have generic apostles, and that's what I would look at to see how it's being used. So I'm just rambling out loud here and not really able to answer your question very well right now, top of my head. I'd hope my notes would would help me out. So.
I just want to tell you this before I go, because I was talking to my friend Travis like sometime last month, and I heard you mention what I said to him, because I told him that I'm not sure, but I think between the month of September and November, they may try to pull something off, because I believe, like you, that I think they're too far along with trying to do things that I don't think they're going to let change.
Who's they?
When it comes to, like, globalists and people, like, Biden and all the stuff that's going
politics
on in the world. You had said that you thought they might do something with November, you know, with the they're gonna change political environment. And I was saying to him that I can't keep his eyes open, because they might try to do something to stop the change of things, because the globalists, like, the fact the way things are going right now, they get a lot of control going on. So
that's right.
They might try to put someone before November. I'm not saying they are, but just think.
Well, let's just say that I've heard, I won't give sources and stuff, that there's ruminations of something major coming. That'll have a major effect on America. There's Biden mentioned.
What?
Biden mentioned also a second pandemic is coming. How would he know?
Yeah, heard that from Bill Gates.
So if that's the case, if Biden said you can't really trust him. He's not mentally all there. And that's not being disrespectful. Obviously, he's got some aphasia problems. But if Bill Gates also says it, there's an issue. They may know something that we don't know. And here's the thing I'm concerned about, is that when the wicked get in power, they never want to give it up. There is no way. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there's another pandemic and all of a sudden when voting comes up, you have to, you can't go to meeting places, you got to go to ballot boxes. Because with the ballot boxes, you can stuff them and you can put all kinds of stuff in there. And then the second question is, how can we trust the counting of the ballots? So you just never know. I don't know. I mean, these are just questions, and I don't have answers to them. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try something. Well, I don't know.
Right.
Maybe
well,
not.
I agree with you, but thank you for your help. Have a good day, and God bless you.
Okay, you're welcome, man. God bless. All right, five open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Now, it's these kinds of statements that I make like that that I believe that the people who don't like what I say in regards to that will try and turn me in to the powers that be at YouTube and other places to try and get me kicked off. Because they don't like the idea, many people don't like the idea of saying, well, I don't know if I trust the elections anymore. And that's just my opinion. I don't know if I do or don't. I really don't think I do. I don't know. I just don't trust them that much. That's just me. Maybe I'm way off base. But I don't know. I don't trust the Democrats, and I don't trust the Republicans. So, am I a conspiratorist? I don't know. I just wouldn't put it past people to just have another crisis that comes up. And all of a sudden, we have to submit to the requirements and restrictions of another crisis. You know, it worked once, and we lost a lot of rights and privileges. In fact, I went to a hospital today. I take my wife there. Oh, you got to wear a mask when you go in there, and it makes me mad because you never had to wear masks before COVID. Now you got to wear masks, and. Each time I go into a hospital, I say, why wear these? They're only 50% effective, these particular kinds that they put out. Only 50%. That means, you know, if you touch them on the outside, they're contaminated. And I said to this lady, and she gleefully said to me, I've been wearing mine for 2 years, and I haven't gotten sick. And, you know, there's 1984 again, or Brave New World, you know. It's Big Brother's taking care of us. I'm like, oh, man. And I'm not saying that, you know, hospitals can't say don't wear a mask, you know, or wear a mask. They can do what they want. But it's like, you know, it just makes me wonder. Just, you know, what's going on? How come we didn't have to wear them before? And now all of a sudden we do? I don't know. I get too suspicious about stuff like that. Maybe it's because of things like this out of Matthew 24, you know. And they asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming, of your return? And Jesus says that many will come in his name, saying he is the Christ, and they'll mislead people. And there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. I'm reading through, citing what I'm scanning as I'm reading through Matthew 24 while I'm talking. Wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, and there'll be famines and earthquakes. There'll be people delivered to tribulation. They'll be killed for their faith. Many will fall away. There will be false prophets. Lawlessness will increase. Now, man, that's certainly occurring. You know, when you hear stuff like this, what Jesus said, and you wonder, I don't know. What do you think? Anyway, give me a call, and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Hey, we have five open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. And, you know, I know I talk about depressing things. Now, during the summer, things slow down, and the callers slow down. So sometimes I'll just kind of ramble a little bit. And there's a lot to talk about, you know. Is there another pandemic coming? Why would they say that? Why would they say there is another one? What do they know? Do they know something? Is it all set up? I don't know. But I'll tell you, you know, it just makes me suspicious. And the thing is, here's why. You see, I believe, having studied the cults for so long, you know, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, and stuff like that, I've studied these groups, and I've studied the people in them. I've talked to thousands and thousands of people in those groups, and they have the same kind of mentality per respective groups, the same kind of obedience training that they have to follow. And it's not that everything's biblical, but that you're supposed to follow what that particular group says is the right thing to do. And for Mormonism, for example, you're not supposed to really wear beards, even though their early pioneers did. And so it's just generally not accepted that you wear a beard. And so you can tell, you know, Mormons just generally don't wear beards. The same with Jehovah's Witnesses. And there's certain dress codes. There's certain haircut styles that they prefer. You know, nice and neat and not too long, not too shabby, if you're going to be respected within within that. Okay, let's see. Anyway, so when I see the stuff that the government is doing to us, trying to get us to do what it says, that makes me nervous. Maybe it's just my rebellious heart. Having studied the cults so long that I see that kind of a thing, I've got a knee-jerk reaction to it. That's certainly possible. So someone in the chat said that Medicare requires her on the yearly checkup to wear a mask in her own home when they come, which is ridiculous. In your own home, you got to wear a mask. It's like, you know, when am I going to stop and say, you can just stay outside? You know, I'll put my arm outside. You can take my blood pressure outside. I'm going to wear a mask. You know, it's just, it's stupid. And and yet people are just buying into it. And like the frog in the hot water, little by little, the temperature is raised up and they don't realize what's going on. Well, let's see. Okay. My brother's texting me. There we go. I did tell him, by the way, I'm on the air. So, anyway, it's got some interesting conversations, but nevertheless. So, this is what it says. Jesus starts saying this. You know, lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold, and the one endures to the end will be saved. But, now notice this. He says this. This is what's really good. He says, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now that's an encouraging statement. That's Matthew 24:14. Because Jesus said the gospel of that kingdom will be preached in the whole world. Now what's interesting is this is before his crucifixion and resurrection. Now that gospel of the kingdom is the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done. And it's going to be preached to the whole world. And you know what? It is being preached to the whole world. It's being preached over the internet. It's being preached over radio. There are ministries where if you pay like, I think, $15 or you donate something like $20, you can it gets used to buy a solar-powered radio with a little bitty battery in it so they can listen in after the sun goes down. Well, isn't that cool? So that people are using them and for ministry and have them preset to some gospel stations in respective countries like in Africa. And they can listen to other stations too, but they're being given out, and the idea is to listen to Christian radio, and that's awesome. It's awesome. The web is incredible. I'm telling you, the internet is just such an incredible thing, and the gospel is going out. I remember, I got emails from all over the world, and I mean all over the world. But one of my favorites is. I forgot where it was. It was some island chain out in the middle of nowhere. And I mean, I had to look it up. I hadn't even heard of it. And I had to zoom in on the maps online. And there's this dot, you know, in the middle of I think it was in the Atlantic someplace. And if I remember correctly. And they said, yeah, we got your stuff here. We're listening on the internet. Where they, you know, like, wow. And so praise God. You know, the internet is such a great opportunity for Christians to be able to witness. It is. It's such a great, great thing to do. And so if you like what, you know, what we do here, and you want to support other ministries that reach out on the internet, you know, you might want to consider supporting them, because it's something very useful. We need to be supportive of the internet, of those on the internet. That's me, not just me, but others as well, who work hard at spreading that gospel. And there's all kinds of really good stuff that's going on. There's a lot of really good movements going on. And I'm going to tell you that the gospel is not going to be stopped by the enemy. It's going to go forth, because that's the nature of that gospel. It is powerful. And it just turns out that the more people try and stop it, the more it tends to increase. I like that. That's an encouraging thing. It's one of the reasons I continue to preach and teach, because I want that gospel message to go out to the whole world as much as possible. So there you go. Okay. Now we have nobody waiting. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. All right. Now, something I've been thinking about, I might as well just kind of fill you in on something, is there's a lot going on. One is I'm thinking about converting lessons into videos. That takes a lot of work. I got to teach myself a lot of new things to do that. And I was thinking about working on apologetics from two specific directions. One from the Christian perspective, and another from the non-Christian perspective. And I've been thinking about this. And from the Christian perspective, you assume the truth of the Christian Trinitarian God, and you work from there. And from the non-Christian perspective, you simply ask them to provide the conditions which must be in place in order for their beliefs to be true. Real simple. And I have been experimenting with that linguistically, logically, experimenting with unbelievers, asking it in varying ways when we have our discussions. And I'm going to tell you, it has been incredibly profitable. It's very valuable. So I've been thinking about working up a lesson on this and going through various things. See, and there's a way to prove God's existence, and that's by the impossibility of the contrary. Let me give you something here. We have two possibilities when we say God or not God. We have A or not A. We have the thing and the negation of the thing. There's no third option when you have something like that. It's either God exists or God does not exist, the Christian God, of course. And I can get back to this after the break and talk more about it, and I'll explain some stuff. Hey, why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. Give me a call. Let's get on the line with Laura from Utah. Laura, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt.
Hi.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I had an interesting question. Well, between visiting with the missionaries yesterday and talking about faith, and then I was talking with somebody else today who wanted to know how to know if they had true faith. We were reading in John 15, and, you know, it was just a good question, and I did the best I could to explain it, but how do we know if we have true faith?
We know we have true faith, but we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's described in the Scriptures. Mormons say they have true faith, but their Jesus is the brother of the devil, begotten through relations between God and his goddess wife, who came from another planet. So that's not true faith. Faith is only as good as who you put it in. The Scriptures tell us that there's only one God in all existence, all place, and all time, and that he was never a man on another planet, etc. So the way to know if you have true faith is to know that if it's consistent with what God has revealed. Now, some people will say they have true faith when they believe in something false, but they'll say God revealed it to them or their prophets or their whatever organization. But that's saying that the scriptures aren't sufficient in themselves, but need something else, so then they're open to deception. When we know about people are self-deceived, we can find internal inconsistencies in their belief system, such as the case with Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and things like that. When you want to find an external problem, that's a little more broader, and you can find external facts that contradict things. You can find that in Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity. You can find things historically that don't match up with what they teach, what they say, what they want to say. So there's ways to find out. But people want to find out if they have true faith, then they need to do some homework and do some examination. But they will never be able to know that ultimately unless they believe in the truth and inspiration of the scriptures, the Old and New Testament, not with the Apocrypha, not the Book of Mormon, not the Pearl of Great Price, not Doctrine and Covenants, not the apocryphal books of the Catholic Church, not Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures, not the Quran or the Hadith, but the Scriptures, the Word of God, not the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society out of the Jehovah's Witnesses. All false religions have extra biblical revelation or extra prophets that tells them what the real truth really is. And so people will believe these lies unless they believe Scripture. For example, I know I'm rambling a little bit, but one of the things I do, for example, with Mormons, when I meet them, and I try not to be mean, I just want to, you know, just tell them the truth quickly. And one of the things I say is, if you believe 1 Timothy 6:16, it'll change everything. Here's a good example of something. Because it's talking about the Father and the Son, and it says, the Sovereign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. Now, that's not Jesus, obviously, because we've seen Jesus. And so, who alone possesses immortality, dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. That's the Father being spoken of there. So, it's as simple as this. When people say, do they have true faith? I'll test them. Let's see if you have true faith. Does your true faith agree with Scripture? And I've shown this to, like, for example, Mormons, and say, this means that the Father could not be seen, therefore Joseph Smith could not have had the first vision upon which Mormonism is based. He could not have seen the Father as he said he did, because the Scripture says he can't. And I've had Mormons, for example, look straight in my eyes and say, I don't care what the Bible says, I know he saw him. And so they can't know they have true faith, because they don't care what facts are. They care about feelings. If people want true faith and to know they have it, they have to rely on what God has revealed, not what they feel or think God has revealed. And that's how you know. And then you go to the Scriptures and you find out who God really is, and then you believe in the true and living God. That went a long way around.
The Scriptures and abiding in Jesus and in His Word.
Yeah. And you'll find, unfortunately, that most people, outside of Christianity, of course, most people don't want to do that. They don't believe in the truth of Scripture. They believe in the truth of their prophet or the truth of their church. And in fact, on one of my Facebook accounts, which I have, I run, it's titled, Is Roman Catholicism True? And that's a good example of having false faith as well. And this one woman is telling me that I need to come home to the Catholic Church. And I point out, I say, you're just being idolatrous. I said, because we're supposed to come to Christ, not to a church. Jesus says, come to me. He doesn't say, come to the true church. And that's one of the things that all false religions I've studied will say. Hey, look, we have the true church. We have the true organization. And salvation is found in our church, in our organization. And,
when
that's the case, it's idolatry, yeah. And then when that's the case, you'll never know what the truth is. Because you don't trust God's word. You trust what the group or organization says. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that was a great answer. That was, yes. and hopefully she's listening, so she heard.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know a lot of Mormons
listen to
me. That
will help in my next conversation.
Well,
yeah, I think they do, too.
Oh, yeah, they do. I know they do. Just like they listen to Bill McKeever in the mornings, and Bill's a friend of mine for those who know Bill is, know who I am. But, I always try and speak to what I think is necessary. In fact, it reminds me, I'm watching a series on Hulu, Under the Banner of Heaven. Oh, my goodness. Very interesting. I gotta warn you, there's a little scene in the shower. Just fast forward through it. But it's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about that, Matt, is because when I was growing up, the daughter of one of the men, actually, I had been to his house, and while they were on vacation, watered their plants and their dogs, and the actually where the woman was executed and the baby was.
That was real?
Where that house was. Oh, absolutely. It is absolutely real. I met them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's real, and I've watched it. I watched the series, and it just grossed me out because it is so. And where I grew up in the community that I grew up in, where one of the brothers lived, the Mormonism was just like what you're seeing in the show, how it was treated. Actually, one of my old bishops married one of the wives after he went to prison.
Wow.
So it's, that was right here in my community, and I knew one of the daughters, and she is gone now. She left after this happened and disappeared, which I don't blame her.
Well, I started watching it. I thought it was fascinating, and I thought it was fiction. But if you're telling me it's true, I didn't know. I must have missed that part based on true story. But what I thought
it was... It is, and what they've done... Because I looked it up, and they said that they have actually changed some of the names for legal reasons.
Right, that makes sense. What I thought was interesting is they mentioned the Mountain Meadows Massacre, which people don't know happened on 9/11, 1859, and for real. And that was the up to the Oklahoma City bombing. It was the largest domestic terrorist occurrence, mass killing. In American history. Now, I'm not talking about war, but, because the Mormon, they killed 120 to 125 men, women, and children in Mountain Meadows. And because of blood atonement and some other stuff,
Yeah, you'll see in the show that they actually do not shed good light on Joseph Smith. They will reveal truth in it. And at one point, they actually show the red book, which, if you know what it is, one of the brothers had, is Sandra Tanner's book, The Shadow of Mormonism.
I mean, they had Sandra's book?
In the show, the brother, yes. He was like, you'll see, I'm not going to reveal it, but the book that they're showing in the show is literally, they don't mention what it says, but it is literally Sandra Tanner's book. And since the show has been revealed, her book has been sold out.
Wow. Well, Bill works there with Sandra. I know Sandra. We did went to Israel together, and I helped her out a lot. So maybe I'll contact Bill and see what he says about all this, because it's interesting. And maybe talk to Sandra, too.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot, Maura.
Thank you.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thanks a lot. Wow. Interesting. Very interesting. May the Lord bless you. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the last segment of the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Janet from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Thank you. I have a quick question. I guess it's quick. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, if you were in a debate with a person who says that the name of Yahshua was the true name, versus the name of Jesus, how would you defend the faith with that?
I just say, show me that in Bible.
Well, isn't there some kind of history with the name of Yeshua? Isn't that a Hebrew name or Jewish name or something?
It might be. I just say, show it to me in the Bible. Show me where Jesus is called Yeshua. And I would just camp out on that question. You know, can you please show me where it says that in the Bible? Please show me. Please show me. They'll say, blah, 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 written in Hebrew originally. Show me where it's written in the Bible. Okay? They don't have it. Because this is what it says in Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. That's the name that God had written in the Greek New Testament. If it's supposed to be Yeshua, then why is it not pronounced or written in such a way that's equivalent to Yeshua in the Greek? Because you can get pretty close to that with Greek letters, but it's not
there.
Then
where do you think that they're getting that from?
I think it's called Cracker Jack theology. Okay, fortune cookie theology. I've talked to people, a sacred name cult and things like that. They get it out of people who say, this is what it's supposed to be because recently I talked to someone who said that all of the New Testament documents were originally written in Hebrew. And they were all converted to Greek.
Okay.
And I said, okay. So where's the evidence for that? Where is it?
Mm.
Well, it was all lost. Okay. So you just saying it's all lost means it's all lost and therefore it's true? So you give me something more than that. Well, Matthew is written in Hebrew. How do you know? Maybe it was. They might quote a church father might say that Matthew was quoted in Hebrew. Let's just say that. Or originally written in Hebrew. Let's just say they have something like that. Okay, what about Paul's writings? Writing to Ephesus. They're not Jews there. They're Greek-speaking. I've been to Ephesus, too, incidentally. It's great. But he's going to write in Greek, in the national language. And he would mention Jesus' name. So, you know, they don't really think through these things. They get to these ideas that, this has to be this way. And if you don't say it the right way, you're in trouble. I mean, Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. So was Paul writing to Ephesus in Hebrew? No. Ephesus is in Turkey. And Alexander the Great had come through the Mediterranean area, and he brought Greek as the national language. And the Jews retained Hebrew in Israel. But Israel, geographically, was very important because if you wanted to go from, say, Italy to Egypt, you could take a boat. But it was very expensive and sometimes quite dangerous because the storms would come up unexpectedly and people died. So it was safer to just take a wagon, a train of a group that would take months to go around. Well, you had to go through Israel. Israel was a strategic place. And the reason I'm bringing this up is it's strategic geographically, it's strategic in war, it's strategic for the Roman Empire. Everybody would go through that land to go north, south, east, west, up, down, left, and right. And so Greek would have been spoken in Israel along with the Hebrew, as long with most probably Latin. And probably other languages, because it was a hub of all kinds of traffic and all kinds of people going right there. That's why God put them there, so that when the gospel would be going forth, they would know languages and it could be spread out all over the Mediterranean area. So anyway, all this to say, what, they only spoke Hebrew right there? Did Paul, he obviously knew Greek. And so he would write in Greek, and he writes the word Jesus. And so why would Paul write the word Jesus, as a quick example, if his real name is supposed to be Yeshua? And then they'll say, I've heard him say, well, no, he wrote it in Hebrew to the Ephesians. You know, it's just like, okay.
Mm.
You know, how much of this I got to put up with? You know, it's just like, And then if I were to go to Revelation, like, for example, and type in Jesus, All right. Let's see. Does the word occur? Yes, it does. What do you know? Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus in Greek, okay? Or Yesu.
So, Yeshua, where is that coming from? The Old Testament?
Hebrew. They want to say that Jesus' real name is Yeshua. And you have to say Yeshua. And if you don't say Yeshua, you're not worshiping the true Christ. It's stupid.
Right.
It's stupid.
Okay.
It's stupid. So let's just say that, you know, I'm in a car accident and roll down a hill, and for some stinking reason, all my identification's lost. And they don't know who I am. And my fingertips are burned off for a bit, right? And and I'm in a coma. Mm-hmm. And they say, that guy's John Doe. Does that mean they're not really talking about me? Because my name is Matt, mm-hmm. not John, John Doe, right?
Mm-hmm.
The name, it means what it means in reference to the individual you're assigning it. And, you know, we had people who lost their memories, and they get a new name and things like that because they don't know.
Right.
I mean, this has happened. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the real person. Use a different name. It is the same person. So it's the kind of lame thinking that people often offer in the cults, and I just get tired of it. In fact, here's something. I'm just going to say this. I have trouble with sound and thick accents because of my hearing. It's not very good in some areas. And I'm talking to a guy last night online, and his accent from India was so heavy, I couldn't understand him. And I repeatedly said, I can't understand you. Could someone else tell me what you're saying? And I said, look, and then he said, you're just in it because you're a racist. You know, you don't like people from India. I'm like, what? It made me mad. And, you know, it's like people, they don't think. They react.
Okay.
And this, it's an endemic problem. The pandemic is bad thinking. It happens all over.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that because, you know, I get challenged with that and I always want to know how I should address it. And I'm like, I don't know that much about Yeshua. So I was like, I'll ask Matt.
See, show me in the New Testament. Here's my basic rules. Ask somebody, where does it say that in the Bible? Just show it to me.
Okay.
And if they quote a verse, go, can we go look at it? Just do that.
Okay.
And you'll find most of the time, it doesn't say what they say, just like it's in Princess Bride. I don't think that word means what you think it means. You know?
Oh, that's a good way to handle situations. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
So
show me in the word.
I'll have to put that into
word. Yeah. Show me in the word and look in the word. And also define your terms. You do that, you'll just be flying high. You'll be doing
I'm on top of my game. I'm unapologetic in the word.
That's right.
Well, thanks so much, Matt. I always enjoy it.
All right. Well, God bless. Thanks for calling, Janet.
Yeah. All okay. Right. Have a good one.
You
Bye.
Too. Bye. I always like it when she calls. It just uplifts my spirit. All right, let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield. Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
And God bless, Matt.
God bless.
I know that we got a little bit of time left. I'm just going through this terrible little bit of background. I have a friend. He's a good brother in the Lord. And I was just checking it out because he's really kind of like, what's the word? Really strong on the King James Version.
Okay.
And I just noticed right now in that parable in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 14 and the end of in verse 30, the big section, it talks about the talent. But I checked it out on the King James, it says kingdom, and then on the New Living, I'm sorry, in the New American Standard Bible, it doesn't say kingdom.
What
the
verse?
The kingdom of God is life.
What verse?
Verse 14.
Of what chapter?
25.
So Matthew 24:25?
No. Okay. Matthew 25, verse 14.
Matthew 25, 14. That says, it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and trusted his possessions to them.
Yeah, and then, because in the King James it's like the kingdom like a man going away on a journey, the King James says kingdom, and the New American it doesn't.
All right. Well, let me take a look.
I just noticed that right now.
Yeah, it's I don't see the word kingdom, basileos, in Greek. So, come on, get in here.
That's a huge difference then.
Yeah, so let's see, Matthew 25:14, the ESV. Yeah, I think he's quoting the wrong verse or something. Because this doesn't say that.
No, he's quoting it because he's big about the kingdom. And then, because in verse 30, it talks about the person with one talent. And then it says right there, he was thrown out into utter darkness where there's gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I seen the connection after that. It talks about the separation from the goats and the sheep.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
in
now
context
I found the King James.
Of their son.
Oh, okay. So it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man. Yeah, the kingdom of heaven is not in the Greek. It's just, it's implied.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so
verse 30.
Yeah?
Verse 30, because the way I see it, verse 30, every time it says, from what I see in the Word of God, when it says weeping and gnashing of teeth, that refers to hell.
Yeah, punishment, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it follows on about the separation from the goats and the sheep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, I see mm-hmm. that. Okay.
So what was his point? What was he trying to say?
That basically, it's a view that I don't agree with him, that meaning that in the millennium, thousand reign,
mm-hmm.
there'll be believers... So he says, and he's written into the text, that there will be in fire being, what is it, the word?
Punished. Well, no, find out what he says. Find out what he says, and then,
means,
you know, call back.
Purified. Purified for 1,000 years in fire.
Yeah, that's not good. No. Not purified by fire. That's a Catholic doctrine. Purgatory and stuff
that's
like that.
That sounds like purgatory.
Yeah. Get purified by your own sufferings. Not purified by the blood of Christ, but by your own sufferings. Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. I just wanted to just see your views on that.
All right. Well, great, man. Talk to you later, buddy. Hey, Dave from North Carolina, I know you're waiting, and we only have like 10 or 15 seconds left in the show, and the pericope you want to talk about, I think would be very interesting. If you were to call back tomorrow, we could talk about that, 1 Timothy 4, and I want to hear from you about that if you want to give me a call. We are out of time. May the Lord bless you all, and by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow, and hopefully we'll talk to you then. God bless everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.